He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
It's that time again.
It certainly is. It's bleeding.
Time to get down and get dirty. It's SNU time.
I guess. I was just thinking about how warm it is out. I'm not complaining, but I don't really function well in the heat.
Oh, we've got more light. It's good to have light.
Yes, it certainly is.
All that data pouring out right now about vitamin D, almost everyone is deficient in it.
Well, especially in this part of the world.
And then people say, well, I get enough light. No, you don't, buddy. Unless you get a full body exposure 20 minutes a day, year round. And then as you age, you cannot convert the light into vitamin D ultimately in the body efficiently, so you've got to get a direct source of vitamin D through supplementation.
Okay, and if not, then you need to go to Rec Beach and be nude and lay around
there. But even then, even the older folks, as we get older, like post 35,
yes,
you can take the light from the sun and you still will be deficient in vitamin D because of the chemistry changes going on inside the body because of age. And this just continues to prove my point that as we age, we become more and more dependent on dietary supplements. Thank God they're available.
Exactly.
But we need to know what they are, how to use them, and what the best technique and strategy
and
is.
And Canada has the highest quality control, so that's kind of nice. So I think what I'm going to do from now on is run around our balcony naked for 20 minutes. You think that'll do okay?
No complaints from me.
we might get kicked out of our apartment.
But the neighbors, I don't know what the neighbors will say.
Right. I'm sure they won't say anything. They'll just be, again, no, I mean, it's not that much. It's not that hot stuff. So, okay, anyways.
Okay, dear. So, what's cooking?
Well, like I said, it's summertime and it's just way too hot to turn the oven on. You don't want to be turning any oven on if you don't have like air conditioning. And so let's light up the old barbecue, shall we? And cook outdoors. There's so many ways to use the barbecue to cook up a great, great meal. I always ask you what you want for dinner, usually, right, Corey? And what's the answer? The same?
Protein and salad.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff. And it just, you know, he doesn't give me any ideas about any creative things.
No, there's
just
some variety with the protein, and there's different salads in your cookbook.
I know, but the thing is, I like you to give me some ideas. But instead, so I have to do all the thinking, you know, and it's really hard on my brain for me to do all the thinking. Nonetheless, you can make up a great, just plain green salad. But what I like to do in the summertime is add some tropical fruit sliced up or cubed up, such as papaya, mango, strawberries, raspberries, or even mandarin oranges. This makes the salad really light and refreshing, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Just adding a little berry or something like that.
I love papaya on salad. I had some the other day with some prawns.
Yeah. Oh,
delicious.
The mango. I'm really into
organic
mango.
Greens, prawns, and papaya. Fantastic.
And then add a really nice light dressing. We don't buy store-bought dressings. I always make my own dressing, but the nice honey mustard dressing that I have in my book is really good, or a nice balsamic vinegar and oil, a light oil.
Yeah, and the reason that you don't buy the store-bought dressings is because they're sterile, they're dead. And when you get live, freshly pressed extra virgin olive oil, it's live. When you freshly squeeze lemon juice, when you grind peppers and use spices, the more live, the more alkaline they are, the more enzyme rich they are. None of this value is in the dead, sterile, store-bought dressings. And that gunky crud that they call dressing.
Yes.
I just see it coming out of the container. It's just like liquid death.
Yeah. So this is a really important aspect, especially if you're eating salads every single day. You need to make your own dressing, not the store-bought, because that's a staple now. Remember, we talked about staples, and staples can make it or break it for you. But proteins such as fish and chicken and red meat can be cooked on the barbecue. And I like to marinate the meat, fish, or chicken in my everyday healthy salad dressing or a honey mustard dressing. I never really go off too far the beaten track. It's pretty much the same thing all the time that I do.
No, but when it's good, why change?
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives it a nice flavor. And, you know, I know what the ingredients are in the marinade, unlike a store-bought marinade, because store-bought marinades have MSG and they've got sugar and all kinds
chemical stabilizers.
Yes. You know, so I would stay away from those. I don't like those at all.
No.
They're too gunky, huh? Or else those meats you can buy in the grocery store that all that marinade all over them.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, at one time in the world, everybody used to make everything from scratch. Because
really?
There was no store to go buy the
exactly,
salad dressing at.
Yes. But, you know, people are busy today and, you know, they just think it's easy and quick, but they don't realize that that easy and quick and convenience is really not convenient for their
payback.
Health. It's going to have to pay. Yeah.
You,
yeah, they're going to have to pay
you,
one
you
way
borrow
or another.
Five, you got to pay back 10.
Exactly. So it's a really good idea when it comes to barbecuing. You want to clean the metal grates with a wire brush prior to cooking so that the food, the proteins, don't stick to the grate. One thing that we've found over the years is that it's so important to man the barbecue. But in our case, it's woman the barbecue.
The woman.
The woman. And you always need to stay close to the grill and keep a watchful eye on it. I just want to tell you some stories about the meat, fish, and chicken that we spent a lot of money on that got burnt because Corey was manning the barbecue and then somebody went and asked him a question. And you know what we say about Corey when you ask him a question. Pack a lunch.
You know, I find standing in front of a barbecue one of the most boring things in the world.
Well,
I just like to shut the lid, get it done, and move on. Because
I know
I'm so
you do.
Busy doing so many things.
I
but
know.
To me, I'm just like standing
oh, what's
there.
Busy doing what? Drinking a beer and talking to
well,
people?
I'd rather be doing something else.
I
just
know you would.
Don't like standing in front
of
a barbecue.
In our house, I woman the barbecue. So it's really important to keep a watchful eye on that barbecue. Also, what I do is I have a spray water bottle that I keep handy just in case the flames start to get a little bit too high. So it really does help reduce the flame if you have a spray bottle water, right?
Yeah, and then people are going to say, isn't barbecue bad? Isn't it bad to barbecue the flesh? You know what? If you take flesh, any way that you cook it to a level where it's denatured and all the moisture's gone, you've ruined it. Now, the outside, if it's charred and black, hey, baby, that's not going to do you any good. It's not going to be good for your brain to eat that stuff. So I think that you have to be careful when barbecuing not to overcook it. But
right.
That's the same rule that you have with other methods of
exactly.
cooking.
Exactly.
And the key difference, I think, when you put something in a clay pot in the oven, there's no direct contact on the outside of the, say, the salmon. So there is less damage with low heat, long-term cooking in an oven. There'd be less damage.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the risk of damage is higher on a barbecue. But if you just go flip, flip,
yeah,
and eat it when it's raw and juicy and still enzyme rich, I think that there's a minimal risk there.
Right. Well, I always turn the flames on really high, get all the garbage on that's on top of it and clean it. Then I turn it down really low and then I watch it.
Yeah, and of course the fat drips down and explodes and then that bursts into heterocyclic amines, which apparently can be absorbed into the flesh above it, right? So there is a factor of damage that is unique to barbecuing. But
yes.
I think that the length of time you barbecue mm-hmm. and what you're barbecuing
yes, exactly.
and how you barbecue mm-hmm. and all the rest of it, it plays a role. Like I remember a cook in Maui, a friend of mine, Sammy, used mm-hmm. to stand there with a squirt gun.
Well, that's what I just
and,
was saying.
And squirt it.
Yes,
yeah?
That's what I did. Didn't you?
I don't see,
see
you
I know
with a squirt gun.
You not a what, squirt gun. I said a spray bottle.
A spray bottle. Okay.
Don't you know?
Well, maybe
as usual,
okay,
he doesn't listen to anything I
say. That's why it
say.
Hasn't been working for me because I've been using a little kid's squirt gun,
oh,
and actually,
sake.
I get caught up in squirting people
anyways,
around me.
Anyways, okay.
That's why
anyways.
I forget about the barbecue.
What I like to do, you know, but I do find they're a bit of a pain is kebabs. But they're just so great having kebabs on a barbecue. I just love to do it, but it's a pain in the butt sometimes because you can't always lift them up. See, meat, it's really important.
I find that it's a pain in the butt to get them off the skewer.
I know.
Like, I just want a chunk of meat and
I
dive
know.
Into it.
Well, we do have, you can use bamboo. I think they're bamboo ones, these sticks. But you want to make sure you soak them first so they don't burn. But we do have the stainless steel ones that
of
we
course.
Use as well. But kebabs are really cool because it's a good way to get the, you can add green, red, yellow, orange peppers. You can add white onions or red onions. You can add zucchini slices, mushrooms. I've tried to use cherry tomatoes, but they usually explode and they get too mushy. So I don't bother with them anymore. And if you don't have metal kebabs, like I said, you can use the wooden ones. But make sure to soak them in water so they don't burn. And always remember, that the protein continues to cook when you take it off the heat. So if you want it not overcooked, take it off the grill before the desired doneness. This is a big one, even
yes,
in the oven.
Yes, and if you don't want it to cook, you got to slice it right away,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. That those are little things that I've been learning over the years. Like if I make a roast, right, like a leg of lamb, and then it's the desired doneness, if I let it sit to let the juices sink in, or whatever. So what happens is it continues to cook and then it ends up to be well done.
Yeah.
So you need to slice it right away or take it out of the oven when it's not quite done to your doneness. It's funny. And also too, altitude has a lot to do with it as well. especially for baking. But nonetheless, we're not talking about that. But there's some really high-tech barbecues out there on the market today. And if you enjoy outdoor cooking, it's a really, really good investment. Having the proper utensils for the barbecue use is imperative, as well as you could burn yourself easily if you do use the wrong utensils. So it's, I don't think it's a good idea to have kids running around the barbecue. I think we all know that. But there is an art and a science to barbecuing. I think everybody should get into it because it's really... There's
well, you know what I like about it?
It's
factor. Clean. It's easy. Like if you're a bachelor, when I was single in my limited experience as a human being on this planet, when I wasn't married, for that very short, brief time, I barbecued every single day.
Tell me about it.
I would come home, throw the meat on the barbie, make a great salad, and that's how I lived every single day of my life.
Okay, but you know what, though? You and Wolfie lived together, and you should have seen the looks of that barbecue. And I said, I ain't putting any food on that one. Then I came along, and I cleaned everything
all
up.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, underwear and how guys are in the... The locker room, you know, the longer you can wear one underwear until you have to throw them away, the better.
No, you turn it inside out.
It's kind of like a tradition, you know, until there's only threads hanging it around.
Okay.
Hey, I read somewhere that NASA's actually trying to develop a form of underwear for astronauts that don't have to be taken off for 100 days. Some kind of special garment. Now, what would that be?
I have no idea.
My God.
I don't think I want to know either.
Yeah,
it would be okay if you're up in space that nobody could smell
you. Well, I'd like to actually know what that fiber is and have it myself. I mean, how convenient would that be?
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we will do next time, we're going to find out the 100-day underwear, okay? Anyways, that's it. That's my thing for barbecuing. So have a great summer and enjoy your barbecue. Just respect the barbecue, though, you know, because we are playing with fire.
Yes, and remember that propane tanks... also need to be respected and maintained, and I'm not very good at that, so that's why it's good that you're taking care of that, dear.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that whatsoever. Okay, let's move on. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Jeff Anderson, or better known as the Muscle Nerd. What a weird name.
But and you know, he is on a special diet. He's getting ready for a photo shoot. He took my 100-day diet, and we reduced it to 3 weeks. And he had his shots done on Monday. He drove to Texas.
Cool.
I can't wait to see them. But he was getting lean, man.
Oh, boy.
And in the best shape of his life. And he actually went on a ketotic diet, like zero carbs, just water and sashimi and white fish and egg whites for 10 days.
Wow.
And, man, he went into orbit like 2 days into it. He phoned me up. He says, this is insane, man. Like, wow.
But, boy, I look good.
Yes.
This is insane, but boy, I look good.
Exactly. It's an extreme measure for extreme times.
Anyway, Jeff discussed supplement use and their effectiveness. During his time in the military, he's been to gyms all around the world, and he saw the same thing. People not getting the results that they wanted through their supplementation regimes.
Well, their expectations. You know, the reason that they weren't getting the results, which he claims... Right?
He says that people look to the hype in the muscle magazines and they think that these advertisements are telling the truth. But a lot of the muscle-bound models that are promoting the product are on steroids.
Duh.
And it's impossible for the average Joe, as he calls it, to get these results through products that they advertise, which really, truly, a lot of people think that, oh, that guy got that big in 30 days just by taking this product. I find that hard to believe that people actually believe that, but people do believe that.
I have people still asking me if Arnold took steroids. I mean, that's how daft people are. How little they know about steroids and how...
The look people get.
The actual look of a steroid
look. Well, I mean, come on. How many people think that you take steroids?
She's got the look, that steroid look.
Yeah. But I mean, I owned a gym and I know what it's like with people on steroids. I know what natural looks like and I know what steroid looks like.
It's so blinking obvious, man. Hey, a good friend of ours, a young guy, don't remember his name, I won't mention it, but I hadn't seen him for a couple of months. He finally crossed the line. He's bloated.
Yeah.
He's got a big, thick neck. It's so obvious that he's on the roids now because he's got a lot of water retention. He's absolutely bigger. He's absolutely stronger. but he doesn't
he's
look healthy.
He's only 22 years old, for
I know.
Crying
he
out
just
loud.
Could not wait.
He couldn't wait.
He's too impatient.
What a shame.
And plus, he's around guys in the yeah. gym that are always saying, come on, you got to get on a cycle,
And he had
man.
A lot of potential, too, to do really well. He's not thinking ahead. He has no foresight.
No.
Anyway, Jeff gives the straight goods on the products to take and their quality and effectiveness. As Jeff was one of those average Joes himself, and he learned through trial and error. He is muscle-bound today, oh, naturally. So thanks so much, Jeff, for your expert interview. We really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and make sure you go to his site and check out his ebooks and some of the products that he has, because he can help you. I really liked his idea about taking a supplement concept and then teaching people how to make it themselves, like by buying the raw materials and saving a lot of money to make it more practical, because that's a big factor.
Exactly.
People say, how do you afford this stuff?
It is expensive.
You really get into it. $100, $200, $300, $400, $500 yeah. bucks a month.
It's expensive.
You know? But you do got to spend some money on the supplements, and
it's not an option.
It's an intelligent choice.
Exactly.
Okay, great. That's okay. good. So who is our next month's special guest?
Well. Next month's special guest is Daryl Greenwood and Katie DeRussia. Daryl and Katie are lifestyle and nutritional consultants and own and operate Page 369. Daryl is a CSNA master and a level 1 power program trainer. Katie is a true teacher by example and a natural born leader. She's a fantastic Whole Foods cook and is extremely creative in the kitchen. And she's just so cute.
Hello, I will attest to that. The last time we went out with them for dinner, she's glowing.
Just a little
cute. She had that look of health.
She really does. Very helpful.
Just gorgeous.
This couple really do live the life they teach, and they're both great examples of what a healthy lifestyle can produce. And we were so excited to have them as our special guests next month. And by the way, Daryl was my personal trainer, and I did get fantastic, great results with Daryl. It was wonderful.
Well, there's not many people that can step up to the plate and take me on, but I would say that Daryl can. I mean, he's very much like me, thinks like me. He's absolutely uncompromising in his position.
I know. He gets into a lot of trouble, but you know what? That's the way it is.
He sees nutrition and fitness science with absolute clarity, and then just wonders why everyone else doesn't see it.
Exactly.
Because it's all based on logic.
Mm-hmm.
And he just can't cope with how people deny the truth, run away from it, and will do anything except the work that needs to be done.
Exactly.
He has a hard time with that, and so do I.
Yeah. If you look at Daryl and Katie, they make such a nice couple. I mean, they just glow.
They're incredibly lean. They're healthy, strong.
But
they're muscular.
They glow.
Eating
their
well,
skin
whole food.
Is so nice.
Absolutely.
They eat exceptionally. So
do you remember I pulled up his shirt in the Colgan camp and showed everybody his abs?
Oh, yeah. He's got some pretty good looking
bottom
abs.
Bottom line. You got those abs.
I remember Leslie Colgan. She just about fainted. She had to take a fan herself when she saw Daryl's abs. So.
Two guys
so
in
there
a
you
room.
Have it.
Two guys in a room. One guy pulls up his shirt. He got a big fat gut, but a fat wallet. And the other guy's got, what, an average size wallet but a nice set of abs. Who are you gonna go
hey,
for
hey who cares about the wallet when he's got a set of abs, man? Anyways, we really look forward to Daryl and Katie.
Good stuff. Okay, and I look forward to that interview as well. Dear, what is your hot topic?
My hot topic is called going to the art gallery. Last week, I had the opportunity to visit the Vancouver Art Gallery with one of my best girlfriends, April, who, by the way, I graduated from high school with. Can you believe that?
How many decades or centuries was that?
1976.
Yeah.
I graduated from high school, and we've been friends this whole time. She's the only one. So that was so cool that we attended this art gallery because a new event was on. And this time we took in the exposition of Monet to Dali, which is Impressionist, Post-Impressionist, and Neo-Impressionist painters. It was just wonderful. Let's see now. She's the only person that I know who shares the same interest in art and attending this type of event. Because I've got lots of friends, but nobody's really interested in doing this.
Well, it's a niche market.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to the opera or going to a baseball game or whatever. Everyone's into their own little
niche.
But what's
really cool is that you have somebody who's interested in the same thing and we have the same interest. And we look at things the same way. And now something else might be, if it goes to fitness or training, or there's a different story. But this particular girlfriend is interested the same way I am. And also, I don't know much about art, nor am I an artist myself, except in my feet. But the idea of not just looking at these paintings, but hearing the stories of the artists and their lives, and what I find that is the most fascinating. We take the audio tour usually so that we can really hear the intricate details. And it's the best route to go to find out the intricacies of each of the painters and the paintings. I've come to believe that it's not about the painting, but it's about the artist that's most profound.
Well, right. I could see that being a female point of interest.
There was a lot of men there too. It's not just female. There's men.
Yeah, but all men have female minds, dear. Females have female minds only. And we have, because of our DNA, that XY chromosome, a female point of view. So that's why we can relate. But I think that some of the stuff is made up. Some of it is not known, but these people talk about it like they know it, like it's absolute truth. How do you know every freaking detail of an artist who lived 800 years ago?
No.
Like
these
where he went to the bathroom
100, 150
and how
ago.
He felt about life and his precious. Like, I understand. I it's beautiful. Sometimes I look at a painting and say, that's a piece of crap.
Yeah,
like, who'd pay money for that? But people will buy into it because of some name. So it's a function of materialism. And attachment to that, I think.
All right,
outside
now you're just ruining
the,
my whole thing.
No, I'm not
here.
Ruining it. I'm just making a point here that I love going to the museum.
No,
too.
You
I've
don't.
Been to many.
I would never go with you.
I have been to many
ever.
Museums.
I would never, ever take you with me.
I'm just not that impressed by it like I've seen some people.
It's called art and beauty. Anyway.
Yes, I know. There's a whole culture of art and beauty. There's a whole following of people that live in it and sell it and buy into it.
But to learn about their lives and the struggles and the passion for art and the opposition and the prejudice regarding their painting style is absolutely unbelievable. Quite a lot of controversy goes over the new styles of painting.
Oh, I know. I've seen it. It's like a, it's hard to describe, but it's an arrogance. People condemn one form of art.
I know.
Even though there might be people who look at that art and love it.
I know.
And they condemn it.
I know.
Oh, that's not good enough, or that's not the right style. And it's like, who the hell are you to tell me whether I like the art or not?
Well, when I was in Europe, I used to live in Europe for about 5 years, and my brother, who's Oxford trained, and his wife.
Which means nothing to me.
Okay. Anyway. Well, you're really getting on my nerves today. I think it must be the heat. Anyway, they're quite knowledgeable regarding art and yada, yada, yada. And they said to me, it's not that complicated, Tracy. You either like it or you don't.
Right.
So there you have it.
Exactly.
So,
but there is a level of...
Yes, it's a little bit snobby.
Of snobbiness in that area. I've seen it.
I know.
I've heard the people. I've seen them walk around and give tours.
I know.
And they what am I trying to relate to? There's a kind of snobbishness in that that also relates to other faculties of life and living. That's kind of similar, right? And when I see a statue somewhere in Vancouver and it looks like a gorilla made it because there's no form to it that I can relate to.
And it cost $1 million.
It cost $1 million. I can't relate to that.
I know.
Like, who would spend $1 million?
But some paintings really look better from afar, whilst others look better close up. It's the most amazing thing. You look far away, and it looks like you're looking out your window at some of these paintings. They just look so perfect. But you get close up to the painting, and it doesn't look as good.
I know.
And then some look better close up.
I think that's exactly the same thing with women. You get too close, and they don't look so good. Far away, man, they look like something else. So you really got to be careful when you get up close.
Nonetheless, it was a wonderful afternoon, believe it or not, that I spent with my friend. And that leaves me really feeling energized, reflective, and always wanting more. So may I suggest that if you want to do something just a bit out of the ordinary, go to the museum or art gallery, or even a tour of the city's small private galleries. I know that you'll come out with your creative juices flowing. It's part of a wholesome experience for the body, mind, and soul.
Yes.
Don't listen to Corey.
No. I think for health, there's music, there's nature, there's travel, there's umpteen different ways to direct your own senses and to find pleasure in your own life. And I think that that's absolutely something that you need to gravitate towards and make happen. And this is part of a sports nutrition health-focused lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
It just brings you down to earth and you're looking through your eyes. And
but understand this. Let's say that you are totally into lacrosse.
No.
That doesn't mean everyone that you know should or must go to the lacrosse game and that they have to love lacrosse.
I'm not saying that.
There's going to be people that actually hate the game.
Well, this
so
is, did
I
you
find
hear
that
what I first
in,
said?
Yes, in art,
no, you didn't even hear
there
the
are
first
people
part of
that, that impose their values on the masses and on people. And they say, you have to like this art. And if you don't, you don't appreciate.
Well,
you have no capacity to appreciate.
I think right now you're imposing on my hot topic right now.
Why?
Because you are.
How?
Okay, you are. You're imposing on my...
No, I'm not. I'm making a point here.
Yeah, hello. Anyways, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. No, I made the point and I'll stick with that as well. So my stickiness is greater than your stickiness.
I don't know how I live with this. Gosh, you got to have a tough skin.
To know me
no
is
wonder
to love
I drink
dear.
And do drugs.
Yeah, and you should have been, and all those last comments I made, all directed towards you. Okay, dear, I will give you the opportunity now to say your final word.
My final word is by Claude Monet. It's on the strength of observation and reflection that one finds a way. So we must dig and delve unceasingly.